My name is Justin Seal. I'm the Director of Local Missions here at First Baptist. We have some other Mission Department staff here as well. And so let me just immediately jump in to briefly hear about you. Is everyone here a give leader, or you're wanting to be a give leader, or you're like, round tables, I love it, I'm coming? How are y'all doing with this? Are y'all give leaders, give coordinators? Yes, no?
Give.
Give leader, okay.
Our directors asked us if we could come to this one, and we said, sure.
Okay. You're going to probably fix that. Okay, I'm going to help that class and, like, talk a little quieter until that's locked and closed. Weird. Skylar, do you mind jumping in and maybe helping? How weird is that?
So you're just moving
in.
Eric,
I
opened it during first session to, like, break in on there.
Oh, man.
But I don't know how to get it back.
It may be better to push it all this way. Sky? Yeah, that's probably better to go all this way.
Yeah.
All right.
That is awesome. That way, I think that extra flap goes.
Okay, he's right. Hey, guys. This observant man here just noticed this extra slot is not being fully used.
Does that fold that out? That little sliver?
Okay, it's good enough. These things kill sound pretty good without perfect closure. Okay, so give leaders. So some are not give leaders. You've been asked to be here. So, okay, are you involved with give coordination in any way? Is that everyone in the room? Okay, great. Let's just go through a few things just to kind of get our heads in to why you're here at the meeting, but just why we're here at First and what our current role is in general. I want to have somebody open your Bible and just read what I know you've all heard, but just to hear it again. Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. Can I just have somebody read it or quote it? Yeah, go ahead.
This is 18 through 20.
18 through 20.
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Okay, this is our church's mission statement, right? We often refer to this as the Great Commission. Anybody got this memorized? For anybody, was this the first time you've heard this? Probably not at this church, right? This is really what our entire church is about, making disciples of the nations. Baptism, right? This is our public proclamation that we believe. I know we all think it's our voice, but really it's what we do in baptism that tells people we are now following Christ. And then the definition for what discipleship is given right there in verse 20. Teach them to observe, or teach them to obey all that I've commanded. And then one of the greatest promises in Scripture that Jesus says, "Behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." This is our church's mission, but really, that's not all our church is about. It's just saying Matthew 28, and that's it. No, we have a vision statement as well. Gather, grow, and give, but it's really to accomplish Matthew 28. We gather together, we grow our souls, and we give our lives away in order to fulfill the Great Commission. And for you, as a give coordinator or as a partially give coordinator, maybe your director has asked you to come. And actually, if you don't have a give coordinator, then the responsibility is still hopefully happening in your class, either by the teacher or the director or some other eager volunteer. But you, as that person, you get to fall into this little slot right here. Right here between grow and give. And what do I mean by that? You're in a class, you're in the grow department, so to speak, a life Bible study, but you're also trying to mobilize people or organize people to go serve outside the building, right, or outside on a different day. And so you kind of get to branch the two. Now, within our church, we also have three divisions of leadership, right? We have our gather department, those who are organizing the worship service. That's going to be ministers, production, others. The grow department, who put on this Midnight Madness tonight. That's going to be like a Brad Talbert, Ben Pritchett. They organize and strengthen life Bible study for the growth of our church. And then there's the give department. That's really missions. That's really what we're doing. So you're thinking international, local missions, faith centers. How do we get people to serve, and how do we support them in their service? Well, you get to be the bridge between these two departments. In fact, you get to be the bridge with the people of the church and this responsibility that we hold very dearly because we work in this, we live this, we breathe this. How do we get people on mission? How do we disciple them to be on mission? How do we train them to be on mission? And then give them the opportunities through equipping and organizing of where to go. That's what you get to do. And so that little line is an important place to be. In fact, I'd say critical to the life of our church. And this is what I mean. If you look on our website and actually look at the vision for gather, grow, and give, it's really well said. Regarding the give portion, if you're experiencing the gathering and the growing that our church offers and you're growing in Christ, then as it relates to give, you cannot contain all that God is going to do in your heart. And it has to outflow somewhere. In fact, if it doesn't, if you don't have a place of service or giving your time and giving your energy and giving your resources, it often leads to a place of lack of health. And so you get to be a part not just of organizing some events once a month, you actually get to be a part of helping our church be healthy, to put into practice all the stuff they're hearing.
Good.
All the stuff they're seeing in a grow group or in a Sunday school lesson or a life Bible study or even hearing from Pastor Greg or even a guest speaker. You're actually getting to coordinate and maybe even lead out and getting people to put to action all that they're learning. And so I hope you can see with that little description of how important your role is. And yet, sometimes it's overlooked. Sometimes it's kind of like not thought about often. And yet, that's maybe to your advantage because you don't maybe have to prepare the Sunday morning teaching lesson. Your time is more free to think about organizing this or coordinating it. So you actually have an advantage, or even directing takes a lot of time, extra meetings. Well, guess what? If you're give coordinating, then you have more time to give to this most important work. And I've learned to appreciate the work more than anything. Let's cover a few things of what we do. And I want to do this slide very, very briefly just to show you that we cover some core things in our give and our missions department, but it's all backed up in Scripture. In fact, it comes out of Scripture and the truth. So let me just run through these real quick. Of course, we do evangelism, discipleship, and church planting in fulfillment, direct fulfillment of the Great Commission. We do this in a couple of ways, sending short-term, long-term workers locally and globally. Again, some of this would require more explanation, but we actually do have a really strong local missions effort building. If you're like, man, I want to do local missions. I can't travel overseas or I want to do whatever. We can help you with that. We send people now. We organize, we train, and we equip. But we also, of course, send people long-term. Number two, care and support missionaries. I was a missionary in India, and we were prayed for. We received care packages from Sunday schools. LBS is here. It meant the world to us because, honestly, sometimes we felt like we were forgotten. And it's hard wherever there is. You don't have the conveniences or even the family or the connections sometimes overseas that you wish you had. Missionary care really backed us up, and we knew they were praying. And when we came back overseas, from overseas here, we had immediate support and counsel. And that meant the world, and that's actually one of the things that you could be doing. Provide orphan care services, minister to widows. I mean, Eric Reed was just in this room teaching. He organizes Men Serve, caring for widows. Again, all these Bible references, you can take a photo if you want. Go look it up. I hope you will actually go do that. Finally here, provide food, clothes, job placement, ESL, and many other services through our faith centers and other partner organizations. This is all happening every day of the week, and that's shocking. There is something happening literally every day of the week outside of the building. And that's a part of your responsibility to know that so you can actually tell other people the opportunities, right? But all of this in fulfillment of all of what God has taught us in His Word. I want to cover very briefly.
I have a quick question.
Please, yes.
So back on the last slide, you talked about evangelism. Do we do specific evangelism training?
We do.
Church?
Yep.
Is that like a regular scheduled thing, or is that like a once a year thing, or?
I do it at least twice every semester, and then we work with individuals who can't make those, okay, and we make sure they get the training they need.
So you're
for women or men. So okay, we have women on our team that can train.
Sure.
My wife is actually taking people tomorrow at 3 o'clock. We were going together. But to answer your question, we have it all the time organically. Hey, I can't come to the training, but when can I? And we'll make a plan. And then we have organized trainings.
Okay. When are they?
Yeah.
That's a great question. Okay.
How do we find
them? It's coming up. I actually have dates. on the PowerPoint.
Nice.
Give me a second.
Nice.
Right.
Nice.
Well, let me do this for you. I'm going to put a few of these at every table. Don't feel like you have to take these, but if you want to see this will be relevant in just a second. Could you help me put these out?
If Justin allows me to hype him up a little bit, because
yeah.
I know he won't do it. But Justin Steele is literally one of the best evangelism trainers I've ever met. One, because that's his gifting. But two, he's done that for the IMB because he's helped lead church planting movements over there. So it's basically what he was trained to do overseas, but now we have the gift of utilizing him here locally for unreached people groups. So these evangelism training workshops are like a Friday, Saturday. He'll tell you and give you the dates, but it's really cool because you go from a classroom to a lab where you're literally transferring your time. 1 hour you're sitting in the classroom, and the next hour you're like practicing it in front of someone who barely speaks English, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is happening right now.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to be a part of and really encourage once he gets there.
Thanks, man. Yeah, in fact, a lot of that we do at Faith Center Harwin, so I'm going to start with some of these opportunities. I'm going to give you these. It'll take about 5 minutes to cover some core things that as a give coordinator or something you want to organize for your class that you really could take note of and would be an easy thing for you to plan. You don't have to do these things, but these are already available to you, okay? They're easy to jump in, easy to coordinate with one of us at our centers or with Skylar or Jen or Brady or others. Anyway, let me go through a few things for each center, and then some of the information, again, is in the brochure if you want to follow along or look at more details. Faith Center Harwin, you've got the pamphlet in your hand. Specific upcoming service opportunities, in a nutshell, we service and we give food 3 days a week, English class, citizenship classes. We also have an attorney that comes to our site once a week. Those are free services to immigrants and refugees or to people who have need. Low income is the focus. But there's other stuff going on. For example, learn to make disciples of the nations. And so those dates are coming here. We have printed in the GROW guide, the milestones guide, February the 9th for our first session. There's a change. February the 16th is going to be the change date. It's a three-part series. This is what somebody would want to go to should they want to know the basic core things of what a missionary does. So it's not just evangelism training, although that's an important part. It's actually how do you disciple and train a new believer? What do? How do you use your time? How do you lead a simple Bible study? What would you do next? How do you enter a place? How do you get started? I mean, those are the things that are covered here. I didn't put it up on the slide, but there's an abbreviated version of this course called Learn to Make Disciples. That's a milestone. Starts on March the 20th. It's the second 6 weeks. We'll be in room 501. And so if you wanted an abbreviated version of that, you can come. Please do. The point of that class is to take out the cross-cultural elements and focus on the universal parts that are useful inside the building. How to share your faith, how to share your testimony, how to disciple a new believer. It's a huge win for us in our Sunday school and our LBS. I teach Renewed LBS and Summit, where I hear stories like this. This person had a question about baptism, but I didn't refer them to the give department. I took care of the questions because we trained them how and where to go and what to do.
Right.
They had their own Bible study. They showed them what it meant. The people got baptized through the discipleship of a person in our class because they knew what to do. And so that's a great example of what I would say is a huge victory we just heard about. We equipped that person to be able to be the minister. And that's just one topic. Of course, we don't cover just baptism. We cover the core essentials of a short-term discipleship plan. That will be March the 20th. You're welcome to come. Outreach teams, yeah, we need you to join us. If you think you're called to missions, don't be surprised if that mission-sending organization says, well, what have you been doing before you applied? Don't be surprised by that. And I'm telling you because it could be for you. I'm also telling you because there's going to be somebody in your class who hears you're a give coordinator or you're helping with this, and they're like, you know, I think I'm called to this. What do I do? And so that's why you need to know. We need you to join us. We have regular teams going out multiple times a week. We're trying to build more teams. What does that mean? It means you might adopt a complex or a zone of Houston. Through the training that is right here or your own training from somewhere else, we can help you help us to cover Houston. We work in partnership with a few organizations that are focused on mission in the city. We're dividing the city up, so to speak, to cover more ground and to spread out effectively. We have Sunday schools that have sent and built up teams, 2, 3, 5, 10 people, to actually join us. They may go out once a month, maybe twice a month. Our class, we were hoping for one team. We got three teams. And so one team is going out tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Another team is going out on Sunday. And that's what their thing is. They heard the Bible, they've heard the call, and now they're walking it out. That's an organic kind of ministry. We don't have like a sign-up sheet for all the complexes that need somebody. It'd be more you coordinate with us, and then we'll help you take next steps. But we're here for that, and we hope to see more of it. How many of you, by the way, have served at Faith Center Harwin? Anybody here? Okay. Staff? Okay, you can talk about it too. Anything that was good about the experience of coming out? I remember you coming out. You helped with the Kids Club, right?
Yes.
Sun Blossom Mountain, I remember.
Yes.
Tell us something that stood out to you as you served before.
Well, my first experience at Faith Center Harwin was Houston 1-8.
Good.
My first time ever doing Houston 1-8. And my first impression was, holy moly, I'm in a third world country and I haven't even left the city.
Right.
I was so moved by my experience there that I really wanted, we have a volleyball club, and I really wanted my girls, because it's a ministry-based organization, part of their development is that they do a service project during their season, and we decided to send teams, a few teams, to Kids Club on once a month on a Saturday during their season, because I wanted these well-off girls to experience and see what's going on in their own city and how they could be a part of that. And so that was it was just an eye-opener. I think it was the biggest thing for a lot of the girls, just loved interacting with the kids and just loving on them. And I think first impression was kind of just getting develop a passion for, okay, I want to do something about this. How can I get them in there again?
So. And that's the beautiful thing for each of you is that you get to experience those things yourself, but you get to think about those other people having those first kind of experiences. Because remember, most people haven't. If we had a survey of just our church, I suspect that a large number have not had a cross-cultural experience, that you felt like you're in a third world country in our own city. And yet that's one opportunity, right? It's really well said. Thank you. Faith Center Spring Branch is our next center. Of course, you've probably heard of this. Let me just go through a few things. Tons of services, tons of opportunities in the brochure. You'll see Faith Center Harwin and services all listed there, and points of contact. So if you have questions, go directly to them. That'll save you time, keep us out of the middle person role. But if you have questions, my email is in the center of this brochure, okay? So I'm easy to get a hold of. And then our information will be up here on the screen in just a second. Upcoming specific, though, services, again, just real quick. Food, clothes, substantial clothes are available to clients or people in need. There's a benevolence ministry. That means we do some rent assistance or we help with some other bills when there's a financial hardship. But there's all kinds of other services that a lot of people don't know about in partnership. Other ministries going out Thursday night, guys basketball through a ministry called Concrete Christians. Other things happening. There's job placement, job training services, all kinds of things. We have legal help at Harwin. We started. I didn't start, but an attorney did, another organization. But now they're actually at Spring Branch as well once a month. We have ESL, a really substantial ESL program. A lot of people just like you have thought before, wow, I would like to maybe learn how to teach ESL. Well, they don't just need clients to come, they need volunteers. And so that's another way, yet another opportunity for people to serve. Know about that when that person comes to you and says, I want to give more in my community or in the area. You could direct them that way. But I will let you know of a few particular needs, food and clothes. They could always use some extra help. This is really great for the person who is like serving for the first time. They're not so sure about the cross-cultural third world experience, but they want to give time. Man, this is easy, okay? And they're very directive. They'll help. And you do get to rub shoulders with people coming for help. food, opportunities to serve, clothes, simple sorting, going through stuff, also prayer and evangelism. All those roles need help on a daily basis, open 5 days a week. But obviously for a lot of the people coming to our classes, they go and serve on Saturdays, even as an LBS group together, which is all great. Prayer and EV, particularly bilingual. My class that I teach has tons of bilingual people in it, which I love, because I'm like, man, you can use that. Here's how. This is one of the opportunities. Of course, they can do this at Harwin as well. About 55% of our clients coming for help speak Spanish now. That means Spanish speakers come on. In addition to other language needs as well, we have all kinds of outreach opportunities or all kinds of people coming to us. Translators often are needed. And let me just run through this. Okay, last service that we're going to highlight tonight, missionary care, though. Any questions, though, before I have Skylar speak to that about the centers, Faith Center Harwin or Faith Center Spring Branch?
You guys accept donations, right, for clothes and food?
Clothes and food, yeah.
Take them. Anything else you accept donations for?
Say it again.
Is there any other donations you accept? Like, I've had someone in my class ask if they could donate furniture.
They can.
Okay.
Housewares, furniture. I would just say it's safe to say donations go to Faith Center Spring Branch.
Okay.
They're open Monday through Thursday, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday from 10 to 1.
Okay.
They could drop off any of those times.
Okay.
And then if it's a smaller item like houseware, a lamp, you know, little plates, clothes, other things like that, you can drop that off in the metal bins in the Connection Center. There should be three rolling metal bins. So that way they can just come on a Sunday and just drop it off and they can go to class or they can do it after service.
They get put by the doors on the first Sunday of the month, the big bins?
They do. They have them by the doors once a month.
Right.
But then any time of the week, those metal rolling carts are in the Connection Center. Did that help?
Yep.
Okay.
Can I ask why the Faith Center Harwin doesn't have that? Sorry,
I'm
jumping. Doesn't do like the clothes and houseware?
We did for the first year. I opened the center 2 years ago. We didn't have enough space for it. It was part of the issue. The second issue is it was overwhelming to keep up, and our main mission at Harwin was to serve immediate core need food, and we want to do outreach. And so that's how Harwin's slightly different, is we do food really well now. Now we have more space. We're giving out up to 2 to 3 times as much food per client. All that space we needed for pallet storage. But second, most of our volunteer hours were used to sort and hang. And we kind of noticed that a lot of the clients weren't really utilizing the clothes they were taking. So it's kind of a tough call. It's like, wow, do you keep up with this thing or not? I know some people need it. So we decided to really leverage Spring Branch, drive people over there. In fact, we drive people over there if they can't drive. Or we guide them there for a great clothes closet, which they have.
Mm-hmm.
And we do food really well, and we do outreach even better now. That's actually the decision I made to cut a service for the benefit of sharing the gospel in the community. And it's actually happening more now. So it was a tough call.
Yeah.
But it's resulted in where we want it to go.
Yeah, awesome.
Does that help?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real quick, do you just want to share the story about the imam getting baptized at Faith Center Harwin?
Sure.
I just think that's just really cool. Just that.
Yeah, we're next to a mosque, and actually a year and a half ago, they built a relationship, prayer walking again. Somebody who was just out in the community. It was actually a partnership with another organization called Keystone. Had a guy living in the complex in Sun Blossom Mountain where you would surf with your volleyball girls. And they were walking, praying, looking for people to pray for. Very simple entry strategy, right? And they saw this guy standing in the parking lot. It was the leader of the mosque. Built a relationship through a translator because he spoke Burmese. Google Translate at that time did not have Burmese. It does now, though. I just got the update last week. Burmese is added. But they found a Burmese translator. Actually, it was a girl we knew at our center as well, a believer. And then over 6 weeks, through eating meals and talking about Jesus through the book of Romans. That's actually not the top Muslim strategy, right? It was just the word of God. It was a Bible study. And the guy was compelled by what he was hearing. It turns out that he actually had been wanting to talk to a Christian for 15 years in Indonesia, but had no one to talk to out of fear and also limited access to people that believed. So it's like God was working in him the whole time. And put my friend right in his lap. He was baptized at our center, And then he moved to California. And now the current imam, you cannot post this on social media, by the way, you really can't even spread this too far beyond this room, is currently in a Bible study with my friend who I trained, Indian guy who's actually working with the new imam, the replacement, and God hopefully will work in his heart the same way. So that's pretty extreme. That sounds like, well, that's kind of crazy. You're talking about a leader of a mosque. Well, we just go out and offer prayer to people that we meet. That's like a simple way to kind of bring it down to like most of us, what we might be doing in a cross-cultural setting. But that's a huge win.
Yeah.
But yesterday, today's Friday, Thursday, yesterday, we were out prayer walking looking for people we could share with. After about an hour and a half, see this lady sitting at the park at the playground. She looked like she might have been Middle Eastern. We said hello, gave a greeting. She was like, oh, hello, be my friends. And like an hour later, after tea, after biscuits, after something that the guy had made from scratch, we have an appointment to go back. And we're going to start helping them. In fact, I just got a text today where the guy needed a job. That guy's resume has already gone to another business. So just an example of how somebody could be a part of the outreach. Which is also a benefit from cutting the clothes. I know that sounds a little bit harsh, but that was part of the hope, was that more people could go.
Yeah.
You had a question right there.
Well, I was just going to share about Spring Branch, because we live right by the
Spring Branch. Great.
And our class has kids, a lot of kids, and so it has our girls like going in there and helping to sort food, fruit and things like that, and that kind of gets them starting to train them up when they're young. And getting them in there.
So you go as a family with your girls.
Right.
Oh, okay, great.
Right. And so, there's a lot of opportunities, and you're saying them. There's just a lot of opportunities to get our feet wet and get in there, and then you become more like comfortably uncomfortable, I guess, or whatever. And then it just becomes natural. Like God made us for that purpose, so it's like eventually kicks into through our DNA.
Well, you're speaking to your issue and really to mine, right? There was a time where I realized I just didn't have a whole lot of non-Christian friends. So it takes something. Serving at a center is one great idea, and this might be for us in the room. But imagine now the people that you're coordinating for in your class or your family or your friend. They may be in that same position too, and that's what you have as an opportunity to help them take that step, to build more non-believing relationships, or to become comfortable with another culture, or to not assume the worst because somebody dresses different, or smells different, or looks different. I had to go through all this too, right? I hung out with people at Jersey Village High School where I graduated. I was friends with some black people, some Asians, some Hispanic, but that was it, and we all pretty much did the same, talked the same, acted the same. But it wasn't until I became a Christian and an exposure through simple opportunities like this that I learned that, man, there's a whole other world out there and I can have an impact in that world. That's the process you're helping people taking those steps, right? Let me move through. Skylar, go ahead and just give a brief thing. I'll put these up on the thing and then you
Perfect.
Can talk to them.
Yeah, yeah. Just really cool what God's doing in the city, and just speaking of big wins and really big fruits. Missionary care is a very, very big win. I don't think I can communicate enough how much missionary care and how God is using our church is literally changing the world through practical ways and relationships of us connecting your LBS classes to missionaries on the field. It's helping out with retention rate. It's helping out with their welfare and the way they relate to their teammates. And it's keeping them on the field is what it's doing. And not only that, but we're getting a firsthand look at what God's doing in a certain region of the world. So it's really cool. It's a win-win on both sides. And plus, we get to see our classes fall in love with a people group or a nation. And then we'll talk about maybe arranging a potential trip to go visit them if the relationship is fruitful for you guys. But I can't do this without bragging on Jessica, because Jessica and her class have adopted a missionary in Mombasa, Kenya, which is east coast of Nairobi. And they are an amazing missionary couple, and they kind of have an entrepreneurial kind of highlight to them where they started a nonprofit, and they're literally changing a whole community by them providing jobs and the father has a ministry for street boys. But regardless, their class is highly a part of that because Jessica keeps up with them regularly, right? And they add them to their newsletters, to what they're doing in the community. So any email that's sent out, they're copied on that as well. They're treated as a part of their class. And so now when the Nuncios come back stateside and they come to visit Houston's First, they're not calling me, they're calling Jessica. Because Jessica's the one doing all of the year-round relational equity, and they love Jessica and her class. And so they're throwing their own dinners, they're hosting welcome parties. I mean, Jessica does an amazing job, and it's all just through this. It's through this. This is changing the game. And you can pick any platform that they want to hop on, whether that's WhatsApp, FaceTime, Skype, or whatever. Marco Polo, that's what Jessica does. And it's as simple as that. It's just you checking on your missionaries regularly. And so we call them care contacts. It's kind of our internal official name. So we like to have one member, kind of representative from your class, to be an official care contact. And you don't need to necessarily worry about the legwork of getting them all prepped up and ready. Our office will do that, so we host several trainings a year on training care contacts to communicate in closed countries, to send appropriate care packages just in case governments check through the package or steal something or anything like that. And then we talk about what does it look like to arrange a healthy welcome and furlough stay. And we do that all for you guys. And so it's a year commitment because there's a lot of turnover rate, and that's a good thing because people graduate or they get married or they move on or whatever. So it's we send a new contract or commitment, if you will, every year. And if it is a fruitful relationship, we want to arrange for your class to go visit them. I mean, why not? It's really awesome for you to be praying for someone in their people group all year round, and then eventually you get to go see what they're doing on the field. There's nothing like that. And we want to arrange that for you guys. So it's not by any means a second-tier mission. This is the greater work. Even in mission agencies, there's whole departments on member care. And that's what the church is being introduced into as a whole. And so if this interests you, please come and talk to me, and I'd love to kind of give you a list and some missionaries that might strike you as a good partner, and I'll give you the dates of the next trainings. But I would love to talk to you about that.
Yeah, it's really important to do, and it's really great for a class, whether the class is 5 or 50. You know, it's seriously as simple as organizing prayer in the class maybe once in a while. You choose how often. Okay, let's remember the missionaries, they sent these prayer requests. So you got a couple of emails. You might send another email, hey, we want to send a package. What would you like? And then you have like a planning party. You're like, okay, after lunch on Sunday, we're going to go to the store together and we're going to gather the stuff, and the following week we're going to pack it. I mean, that's like how a project could come together, something that simple. Like I said, we received some of those. It meant the world because, like, we couldn't buy hot tamales, my wife's favorite candy. And, I mean, when you go to another culture, another place, you kind of don't realize how much you want these silly things that you don't think are that important until you can't get them. And so we got a box of them. You know, like candy, it meant everything to our kids, and it meant everything to us, that our church had not forgotten us. And they were praying for us, and they were behind us. They were a part of the work, even though we had not met the people who sent the box. Actually, only the leader, the teacher of the class. It was William Taylor's wife, Nancy Taylor. And so what a special thing. They had each wrote a note to us. By the way, the government read all those notes. So take care with the advice on what to say, what not to say. We were in a closed country. No trouble came from it. But it meant the world, and it was great. It was a great win for us and for the class who sent it. Keep it in mind, if your class has not adopted a missionary yet, it's a big deal, even though it takes a few simple steps. Let me go ahead and keep on moving. If you haven't done this, remember, mission trips, another great opportunity for your class to be talking about. We have over 33 already planned going this year. Is your class planning to go on a trip together? Maybe this would be how you go to your teacher, your director, or if you are a teacher, you could talk to leadership, hey, what trip is our class going to promote? which one are we going to jump in on? It's usually a little better to get kind of some planning time out front, but it's not too late at all for this year. In fact, you need to look at the list, please, and then try to figure out where you're going to plug in. Let me give you some more information here. Who went on mission in 2018? Let's give like 1 minute story. Raise hands first. Who went on a mission trip last year? Okay, where did you go?
So we went to New York, and the year before I went to Budapest, but our class actually went to New York and met with our contact person, our care person, and who was Michelle, and we just got to help her do a lot of advancement with evangelism through the crew organization that worked there, and it was a blast not only to see just her, the Lord growing in that realm, but for us to get to minister to her as well. So, yeah.
Right.
That was one of the main things we heard was how grateful they were that a group came up to visit them and support their staff, and then so that they could be free to talk to the people in the city and during the event.
And that was your missionary.
Yeah, Michelle Goldberg.
Yeah, what a great multiple levels of connection. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. Where did you get to go?
We went to Haiti with this kid.
What day? See, all day. Great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I think it was a similar experience, right? Of it, you realize, like, we go to these places, and yes, we are there to serve the people who are local to the country, but so much more we're there to minister to the full-time missionaries who are there.
Yeah.
And to just pour into them. Like, they could not believe that we, like, did dishes in the kitchen one day. We were like, I mean, we're here, there's dishes. I don't understand why this is shocking, right? But things like that could be so natural to us, just, like, make an impact on them and ease their burden. But, yeah, the place we went in Haiti is doing some really cool stuff with sustainable missions there. So
it's fantastic.
It was a good chance to see it.
Yeah, there's just a few stories in the room, and I know there's so many other stories that we could just tell, which we can't right now, of all the things, the impact it has on the people going and the people that are receiving that support. But what trip is your class going to take? Maybe you don't have that thought out yet. Well, don't wait. You can do it. Let me put this up real quick. What trip are you going to promote in your LDS? And then Amir Omar is your first contact, but we'll put all of our emails up at the end. If you have any need for additional communication, we're all available. We're all on the same team. I office at like 3 locations throughout the city in a week, but these people, Jen, Brady, and Skyler, along with Amir, they're downstairs all week, right? So we can all get through if somebody's unavailable or something else, or if you have a concern or anything else, right?
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about this. We're going to transition out to part of the roundtable part, which we want to really hear from you. And maybe you've only got great things to say. Or maybe you're like, I don't have all great. I need to talk this out. Well, guess what? This is your opportunity, okay? Of course, in love, right? Speak the truth in love. Let's talk about this. First of all, what is working well for you as a give leader? I want you to take a minute or two at each of your tables and just talk about it, or if you're acting in that role. I know we have some that are not officially in this role, but maybe you've done some of this. What's working well for you in your class? Maybe tell a story or how you coordinated or something that's going well in your LBS. Go ahead and take a minute or two and do that right now if you can.
So we this is Katie. Hey, don't know if you met him, but I'm here.
Yeah.
So, Jessica, right?
Yeah, I was
Brady.
There
you go. So, some things that have worked well. I'm in 114. Houston 1A worked really well for us.
So we had worked well for our class.
Our class is young and single adults. So we have a lot of
time. We've done some Facebook deals. We've gone to Spring Branch.
We probably asked about 40 boys at Houston 1A, so it was awesome. So that was really good. Men's serve was. We usually have a group, probably 5 to 10 guys that go.
There is opportunity for anyone.
So it's like,
so is there just a need? Be there.
but it's really hard. Okay, well, what do I do? And you know, where do I
start? I want people to volunteer to do the toy drive.
I think the big thing
about the shop program was
So the Christmas story.
Yeah, a lot of Christmas story. Yeah, a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, I only get one class a week, so it's to bring toys.
It's our fault.
That's awesome.
It's a really good opportunity. It's also the center that we go to for
our classes.
So it's fun to see the kids who know the same people
and
come back and all there.
Well, there's a couple of people that, I mean, we do it, but it's very, it's not as
good. You know, it's just fun.
What is your class?
So, right now we're interested in sort of leadership.
I think for our class,
some of the things that I've learned makes them older and younger, which is my story. And
we do really, we do community really well.
So that's why I was. Because I usually go.
Then we use Group Me to kind of get in contact with people who need something, whether they're in service within the church
guys
or
totally
mission
to do
to
go.
I think God kind of directs me towards that in a couple of missions. Tapping into the opportunities that we have here.
Okay, let me hear from you, or let the other groups hear from you. Throw out some of the things that are working well. Like, let's try to keep it real kind of short, you know, not the full story. I wish we had time for it, to be honest. No joke, we do learn. I mean, we listen, and we try to implement everything that we can. But what's working well for you? Maybe just a couple little examples. Anybody want to just throw something out you heard, or somebody wants to share what they just shared?
For us, is using like platforms like tech platforms. Like we use GroupMe to get
discounted. Yep. Yeah, sometimes you have to almost hide the notifications when you get a group of people excited.
Right.
But, you know, I get the badges, and I'm like, it bugs me. I got to look at that thing to get the badges to go away.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's perfect. It keeps me straight, and I'm in. I'm on one, two different groups doing ministry outside of my job, right? Just they're serving, and they're excited, and it's changing them, not only the people they're reaching out to. Yeah, communication's critical, though. You have to do it. What else?
One of the things we said is when just cultivating a culture that everybody's in, you know, and so that people don't feel like they're sitting on the sidelines. So I I help head up outreach for The Porch, which is our young adult Bible study. And that's one of the things we tell them all the time, and I encourage them to go the extra mile. Like, we send out an email with folks that need to be followed up, but I encourage them not to just stop there, you know, to check up on them a week later, you know, a month later. And to go get coffee with them, or to go, you know, they're in the hospital, to go visit them, find a way to go the extra mile, because that speaks volumes and then teach others how to do that too that are on our team. Teach those people that are shy, kind of that say, I don't want to, you know, I'm more of an introvert. I don't want to go, you know, and do those type of things. Man, just to spur them on to hopefully be able to encourage them to do that. And yes, we've seen it, you know, like, praise God that those who are sitting on the sidelines are like all in now.
Yeah.
And they'll come running to me and say what a joy it is. I'm like, this is the Lord, you know, it's not me. It's just Him speaking that through me and our team to be able to cultivate that, because it's such a difference when you have those who are all in versus, you know, two or three doing the work and then the rest are just watching. So.
Yeah. And if you got that shy person or the person who doesn't know what to do, you could give them a suggestion. You say, hey, why don't you ask a friend to go with you?
Yeah.
Or even the next step is the give coordinator. This is where it takes like another step up for you to say, I will be that person if you want. And that's a great way for you to kind of help them and mentor them in a way. Let me move through this though pretty quickly. This one I want you to think about. What are some things that are not going so well? Now this could get really long if we let it, but I want it to be constructive. Okay, so what's not going so well in the give role? Maybe it's I'm not sure what to do, or I haven't gotten the help I needed, or I haven't had the assistance and leader. I don't know what it is, but I don't want to feed ideas, but I want you at least to have a chance to think about it. Why don't you, if you are willing, and I can speak the truth in love, right? Share that at your table. What's not going so well? And maybe that the help is at your table right now with an idea or a comment. Or just you voicing it will help you discover the resolve that you need. Go ahead and take a minute or two and just discuss that if there's something that comes to mind. And we're not going to take a long time. If it's like totally silent, I'm not going to make you sit here quietly. But I want to give you a chance if it's needed, okay? Go ahead.
She would take a look at the Sunday conference and prayer. And so her wife did this. We do that in our class. We took care of her. person. And out of that uncomfortableness, that we should be doing this more. I mean, this is, you know, this is how we communicate with God.
And
I don't know if somebody mentioned, oh, it's because I don't want father people's messages. Other people pray requests, you know. So we took that uncomfortableness. And,
Let me jump in again and cut short what you probably want more time to do. By the way, I hope that this has actually been good. Like you said, you had to step out early. You didn't. I'm hoping that's because you enjoyed being
here. Yeah, it's been interesting.
Hey, look, I'm going to just lead in. We're trying to do this more regularly. At first, we're thinking maybe four times a year. Now we're thinking three. This is one of the nights. April the 7th, we're going to do this again. It's the same time as Make It Your Own, Make It Your Church orientation, but at the same time, simultaneously in the garden room, we'll have a meeting like this to support one another, to talk the good, what's working, what's not, get together, make a plan, give you updates on upcoming things. Notice that I gave you the generals about the centers, but I also gave you some specifics like dates, things to be thinking ahead of time. That's what this meeting's for. I'm asking that you actually put it on your calendar right now. April the 7th, 12:30.
So that's not the same as the LDS meeting?
It's not.
Okay.
It's not the same day, is it?
You know,
I hope so. LDS, yeah, there's another leaders meeting the week after, but no, this is for GIVE coordinators. Like, you came here to learn about, you know, GIVE, or this is a GIVE roundtable. Well, let's take this to the same kind of meeting. We'll have food. In fact, it's probably going to be the same barbecue more than likely, which is great. There's child care. Child care is included because of the Make It Your Church orientation.
Right.
And then we'll go get the food, come back over, and then cover specific service opportunities, hear from you, try to partner together. But I want to push that because it's important.
Yeah.
And that you come more than once, because it's like, okay, you are helping others as you can get help yourself.
So good.
Yeah.
So basically, real quick, just to reemphasize this, what's happening right now, we're doing this year round.
Yep.
So specifically, there's three gatherings that we're going to have every year. This is going to be the first gathering. The second gathering is going to be April 7th, which is that same time as Making Your Church. So you'll just walk in, enter the line, and make your church, get your barbecue, walk right back out, and we're going to be in the garden room.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going to have an hour and a half time of like diving into all of the summer giving opportunities. And we're going to be talking through what worked well and what didn't for your class.
Because
we want to get a consistent pulse rate. And what's great about that is that we've already emailed you when the next date is. Do you want to talk to that?
Yeah. So I was going to say, part of the reason we'll have you fill those out is we want your contact info so that we can keep you in the loop with these things. And if you came and you filled one of these out or one of the green sheets out, you should be receiving an email basically around the time you leave this class here in a few. And so that's something we're going to be doing regularly, you know, sending those out, sending, you know, consistent emails, texts, that kind of thing, because even when we're not meeting, we'll keep you in the loop regarding different opportunities, regarding our next dates and that kind of thing. And to, like Skylar said, you know, just making ourselves available to you, because I know even just at our table, and I'm sure at your tables, we've spoken to the fact that sometimes part of the struggle with getting people involved and give things is just like, I don't really know what's happening, you know, or I don't even know what we can do. You know, I'm sure some of you are here like, I didn't know any of this was happening. And so that's kind of why we want to initiate those meetings. And so even before that April meeting, when we have your contact info and that sort of thing, you'll be receiving emails and all of that. And then also on the sheet, you can check. We put two or three ministries on there. If you're interested, check that. Or if there's something else not on there, write it. That way we can put you in contact with those people as well. So, yeah.
Let me blast through the last bit. We're a couple minutes over time, but we really did well. We had a lot of group discussion, and I hope that you take that. And learn from it and then make steps. And if we need to be a part of helping you with those fixes, then that's what you got to contact us about. So let me finish up. This may be an email. With our time today, we don't have time to discuss it and voice it, but we want to know. And we want to know what we're doing well. We need encouragement, but we want to know what we're not doing well. If you emailed and you get a response, or if there's an issue that you are trying to, I can't promise we can do everything, but I can promise we're going to talk to you about it. And we're gonna work it out, okay? But maybe that's an email you could send, okay? But think about it. I've already kind of hinted at this. Your role is not that easy sometimes, and you need to know you're not alone. So let's build community around this effort. And so that involves communication from us to you and you to us, but it also is community. And so that April 7th date is really important. In fact, that's what is next here on the slide. April the 7th. Write it down, 12:30. Garden Room will be the give coordinator portion, okay? Or if you're a director or a teacher of your class, but you fill in that coordinator role, please come. Or have somebody come for you, okay? To learn the new opportunities or specifics, and they can pass that on back to you in the class. What in the world was that?
Oh, you sent me an email?
Try to send me an email. It's doing it again.
Cool.
All right, let me close with that. Let me give you a couple of dates. Not a couple, you already have it, April 7th. There's one more I want you, it's kind of insider information. The other announcement we had was the World Mission Offering, February the 3rd. I don't recall that being announced in any way. Is that true?
It's actually
it's 24th.
24th. I had the date wrong. Good.
Yeah.
I want you to be thinking about it now. We'd like your help to announce it to your class as an opportunity. Since we already know about those dates, I'm already praying about how I'm going to give above my tithe that I normally do give. But it's better to have a little bit of time to pray about it instead of like be impulsive. Anyway, look for that announcement, and it's your role. Please announce it to the class. Ask the director, ask the teacher, hey, can I just have a minute? I want to remind our class to be praying about this. That's coming up, and we want you to be a part. Our church last year set a record for giving and the number of givers. Guess where that money went? It went to the International Mission Board. It went to the North American Mission Board. It went to special projects. That helped people like me when I used to work for the IMB to do strategy, to stay on the field, and to do the work that we know is so critical. Be a part. Remember it when it comes up in announcements that you can actually present it to your class. And again, that April 7th date, we'd love to see you again, and we want to build the relationship. We want to have like the regular core coming in the April date. We'll have another one probably in September in conjunction with the Make It Your Church orientation. But please keep coming. Please make it a thing that you could plan for. I know there's so much, but this is worth it. Let me pray, and we'll be done. Thank you for being with us. Father, thank you for our time together. God, bless our time for the rest of the evening, God. And I pray that you'd help us remember the things that we spoke about just now, maybe at our tables, that we can do a step, a fix, a thing, or something you brought to mind that we can plan or participate in. God, I pray that you would help us take those next steps. Lord, we love you, and we love that you use people like us to do your work. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everybody.
That's the best.
World Mission Offering.
What?
What?
What? What?